Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, as the general election heats up, religion continues to be an undercurrent in how Americans are viewing both John McCain and Barack Obama, from the Reverend Wright and Reverend Hagee controversies to the lies and false rumors that Obama is a Muslim, to this past week when Obama pledged to support and expand faith-based initiatives. Joining us to discuss the role religion is playing and what our treatment of religion in the general election teaches us about our country's faith as a whole is Eboo Patel. He's been on the show a couple of times before. He's the founder of the Interfaith Youth Corps based in Chicago. He writes the Faith Divide blog on the Washington Post website, and his book, Acts of Faith, just came out in paperback. Eboo, welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be with you, Brian. Thanks.
You started a recent column with you listening to NPR. What did you hear, and how did it strike you?
This gentleman, speaking to Maura Liasson, who is the NPR political reporter, said that he wouldn't vote for Barack Osama, and then kind of snidely corrected himself, Barack Obama. How can we have a president with the middle name Hussein and who has Muslims in his family? And as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking to myself, can something more un-American be said on morning radio? Isn't this country precisely about people from different backgrounds coming together to build a nation? No matter what your name is, no matter who your grandfather is, don't we have a constitution which says there'll be no religious test for candidates for office? Isn't having people from different backgrounds working together exactly what we want America to be about? And listening to that, I thought to myself, we're missing a major opportunity to define the possibility of America in the 21st century. And that opportunity focuses on religious pluralism. And I think that our candidates need to be stronger on that topic.
Both candidates need to talk about these kinds of things?
Absolutely. America right now is the most religiously diverse country in human history and the most religiously devout nation in the West at a time of global religious conflict. We have a really positive history in bringing people from different religious backgrounds together to serve the common good. George Washington had a Jewish clergy person at his inauguration in 1789. Benjamin Franklin helped build a hall in Philadelphia, and he said that he would welcome a Muslim preacher to come preach from its pulpit. This is part of America's idea. It's part of our potential, and we need to be realizing that in the 21st century.
Are you saying, though, that when the Obama campaign sets up its Fight the Smears website to counter lies and false rumors like this, that's not enough?
I would like candidate Obama to say, Islam is a long and great and rich religious tradition. I don't happen to belong to it, but it is a tradition that has inspired the poetry and jazz and sacrifices of people for over a millennium. And you frame that smear in the venerable tradition that is Islam, and then say it's not that I just simply don't belong to this tradition, but it's not a smear to be a part of it.
And do you think he's shrinking from that for political purposes? There was recently this controversy about this incident where two Muslim women were asked to move from behind Obama's podium so they wouldn't be in a publicity shot. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about? Does the Muslim community now feel spurned by him?
I think spurned might be a strong word. I mean, I thought that was a pretty balanced article in the New York Times that you're referring to, that, you know, Muslims, frankly, have gotten used to being marginalized in the past several years. I was actually with Representative Keith Ellison in Minnesota that day when the New York Times was interviewing him.
The first ever Muslim congressman
That's
elected
right.
a couple of years ago.
That's right. And he had invited me to his district in Minnesota to do a talk on interfaith cooperation. And so he and I talked about some of his experiences with the Obama campaign, which he mentions in that New York Times piece. But, you know, I think Muslims want to help build an inclusive America. I think what every ethnic and religious minority group in America has realized that in order for them to be free, you need to build an America where everybody is free. And I can tell you the names of dozens of my Muslim friends, many of whom work with the Interfaith Youth Corps, who are saying, listen, we need to build an America where everybody can live in dignity and everybody can be free. And that's the promise of pluralism. And I would like our presidential candidates to be standing up for that more boldly.
You know, one obvious question here is why these rumors are so hurtful. The rumors aren't Obama's a Muslim terrorist, but often just he's a Muslim. And that seems to turn some people off. So we're getting a glimpse maybe of how many Americans may view Islam in general as unacceptable for the presidency.
I think that that's right. I mean, you know, we have polls that say that somewhere around 40% of Americans have a negative view towards Islam and Muslims. And, you know, you had Senator Edwards on your show earlier today, Brian, and I think Senator Edwards is a great American. And one of the greatest moments in his campaign was when he said that he did not want the votes of people who were refusing to vote for Hillary Clinton because she was a woman and were refusing to vote for Barack Obama because he's black. And I think John McCain has an opportunity to say the same thing about religion, that he does not want the votes of people who are refusing to vote for Barack Obama because his middle name is Hussein or because his grandfather happened to be a Muslim. That kind of rhetoric sets the standard for the American promise in the 21st century.
We have a few people calling in. We have a short amount of time for this segment, but we could take a couple of phone calls for Eboo Patel from the Interfaith Youth Corps and blogger at the Washington Post online in his Faith Divide column and his book, Acts of Faith, just out in paperback, 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Is religion serving as a proxy? You know, maybe people can't openly admit that they're suspicious of a black man, but can still be suspicious of Islam with more social acceptability.
I don't know, Brian. That might be a little too postmodern for me right now. I think that it's pretty clear to anybody listening that the suspicion and fear around Muslims is somehow attaching itself to the Obama campaign and candidacy. And I think that it's a violation of what America stands for, and anybody who believes in the depths of this country should be trying to root that out.
You said what you would like to hear John McCain say, similar to what Edwards said about race and gender in the primaries. How did you feel when Hillary Clinton said Obama was not a Muslim, quote, as far as I know? And for that matter, by not coming out and making this kind of a statement when it comes to religion, is McCain making a tacit endorsement of the rumors, in your opinion?
I think what people are doing is missing opportunities. I don't think that any of the candidates holds any type of religious bigotry whatsoever personally. I just think that they are missing an opportunity to define what America is about in the 21st century. Let me explain this a little more, Brian. Societies all over the world are dealing with religious diversity in ways that are very new to them. Europe, for example, is home to 15 million Muslims, perhaps more. The Gulf is increasingly home to Christians and Hindus from places like India and the Philippines who come in as guest workers. These societies, which were largely ethnically and religiously homogenous before, are trying to deal with this religious diversity. And oftentimes, there's friction, there's tension, even violence. America has a history of bringing different religious communities together to serve the common good, which is what we at the Interfaith Youth Corps call religious pluralism. I don't think we should be shying away from that value right now. I think that we should be embracing it. And in fact, just as we say America stands for freedom in the world, it stands for democracy in the world, we should be saying America stands for religious pluralism. That's part of what it means to build the new city on a hill, to steal a phrase and an image from John Winthrop from several hundred years ago.
Sandra in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Sandra.
Hi. Well, there are large numbers of Americans who are atheists, agnostics, who find Obama's emphasis on religion to be somewhat puzzling, to say the least. I'm thinking particularly in the case of, for example, financing drug addiction programs with federal funds. Our faith-based groups are composed of non-amateurs going to compete with people who are educated and know professionals who know how to give professional support to that kind of thing. So there actually are two points. One is that Obama seems to have passed by the fact that there are lots of Americans who have no religion.
Well, some of the flip-flop charges against Obama recently are not fair. Some may be, but some are not. And I think what he articulated recently about his belief in faith-based programs is consistent with his feelings for a long time. Eva, is that your impression?
Right. Well, I think Sandra is making two points. Let me address those independent of each other. One is Barack Obama is doing what every presidential candidate does, which is he is articulating his story and what led him to run for office, what led him to public service in the first place. And what he's saying is that his faith journey is an important part of that. He wrote that in his book, Dreams from My Father, many, many years before he ran for high office in America. So, you know, it's just like Bill Clinton being the man from hope. It's just like Jimmy Carter going to the Naval Academy and coming from Georgia. It's Barack Obama's story, and faith happens to play an important part in it, as does race, as does going to Harvard and Columbia, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that every American, certainly every American candidate, has a right to tell their story and see if the public buys that in the election process.
And what about the faith-based programs? And she was saying amateurs as opposed to professionals in substance abuse counseling, for example.
Right. I mean, I think that many organizations that have a faith base have extremely competent professionals working within them. And to take, for example, universities, you know, Georgetown University, Notre Dame University, these are quote-unquote faith-based universities, which are also in the highest rankings of scholarly league tables. And I think you will find that in counseling centers. You'll find that in after-school programs. You'll find that in schools across America, that one of the things that religious communities do is they start organizations meant to serve others. And oftentimes, those organizations are highly effective, even more effective than their equivalent secular counterparts. I think the important thing about Obama's faith-based programs is he's saying, let's get it right this time. Let's make sure that the federal government does not subsidize proselytization or discrimination in any sort of way, but let's make sure that the people who are already doing the work get the type of support that they need to do the work, whether they're faith-based or not faith-based.
Here's a post from our comments page that says, an honor killing just a day ago makes it hard to understand why no Muslim groups have come out screaming that this is unacceptable. It makes Islam suspicious, just as the polygamous Mormons are suspicious, writes this listener. I want both candidates to make strong statements about faith.
I think that every Muslim in America that I know considers honor killings absolutely abhorrent. But if I spent my time or other Muslims or Muslim organizations spent their time looking for the horrible things that some Muslims do around the world and apologizing for those, we would never say anything else. It's the equivalent of asking every New Yorker to apologize for the murder that might have happened in one of the boroughs in the past week. I think what we need to be doing is collectively defining a positive vision of how people from different faiths, including no faith at all, can live together. And what I'm saying is that our candidates have an opportunity to do that in this election.
We
I would like them to take that.
We also have a few other calls. We're almost out of time, and I'm not going to, you know, take the repetitive calls, but a few other callers who are saying essentially the same thing, that they would be more comfortable if there was more of a public outcry against things like honor killings from the many moderates in the Muslim community, because it makes them think that maybe there aren't that many moderates in the Muslim community if it's not public, if it's not pressure.
Right. I got to say that, you know, all I hear from moderates in the Muslim community is this, is we decry violence in the name of Islam. We decry any type of totalitarianism in the name of Islam. And we are seeking to build and be part of pluralist societies. And you can go to websites like the Islamic Society of North America. You can go to major Muslim scholars like Omar Abdullah and Sheikh Hamza Youssef and Khalid Abu El Fadl. And you will find not only statements about these things, but research in the Islamic tradition, which articulates a stand against those. So, I mean, I think that I am part of a generation of Muslims and a generation of Americans who are articulating who we want to be and trying to build that world. And we call it religious pluralism.
Last thing. Is it useful, in your opinion, for us to have this kind of conversation in the media where we draw attention to the lies and the smears and the rumors that are false, or does it more reinforce them even though we're saying these are false? There have been some studies, you know, that indicate that it has the opposite effect. And yet on the other hand, you can argue that there's a responsibility of the media if this stuff is going on out there being passed around in inbox to inbox to address it publicly. Where do you come down on that?
I think it has to be addressed publicly. I think that for too long, we have forfeited the terrain, especially of religion, to people who would divide us, to people whose agenda is violence. And what we have to do is make sure that there are positive, constructive voices that focus on religion, precisely to build this new American city on a hill.
Conversation goes on. Eboo Patel is the founder and executive director of the Interfaith Youth Corps. He writes the Faith Divide blog for the Washington Post website, and his book, Acts of Faith, is just out in paperback. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thanks, Brian.
Coming up in a minute, race, class, and noise complaints in New York City, and Lenore Skenazy on the summer camp blues. Oh, it's parents who have the summer camp blues. Stay with us.